And I want to talk about God's plan for our lives. Part two. God's plan. And God's plan is for you to know his word. You're supposed to know God's word. You don't supposed to know of God. You're supposed to know God. See, too many of us know of God. You know of him. You don't know him. Because you don't live your life accordingly. You know, if I want a church full of people, it is easy to do one thing, preach prosperity. And tell you how awesome and incredible you are. And that you'll get all the money in the world if you do certain things. But when you start preaching the Bible, the truth, people think you're crazy. They're not used to anybody really holding them to the truth. Most preachers preach partial truth. They read out of the Bible. They find the things that make you feel good. But the things that will challenge and call your life to change, most hold back. I shall not ever do that with you. I promise you. Because the goal is what? Heaven. What's the point of us playing? We'll be just playing church. Coming and going to church, spend all our time, and then we meet God. God says, away from me, you evil doer, I never knew you. And by the way, your preacher going to hell first. Step aside. Let him deal with him, then I'm going to deal with you. Since he wouldn't tell you the truth. Because I would be held more accountable even than you. It is important that we understand God's plan for our lives. We must get rid of our plans and take on God's plan for our lives. His plan is better. We talked about Ephesians where he said we were chosen, predestined according to his plan. For the purpose of his will, not our will. God wants us here for his will. We got to remove our will out of the way and take on God's will for our lives. That's challenging for most of us. We don't understand that. In Psalms 33, it talks about God's plans last forever. God watches everything we do. God considers everything we do. God's eyes are on those that put their hope in his plans. God says, I'm watching you. If you're making my plan your plan, my eyes are on you. I got you. But we fail to understand that. We're like, as a people, we seem to, and we talked about this a lot last week. That's why I'm doing a little short review for you here. We seem to make a plan and then ask God to bless that plan. Instead of asking God, reveal to me your plan. God, give me your plan. Let your plan be my plan. What we do things, we go buy a house and go buy a car and say, hey, God, bless this. We do things and then we ask God to our will and we want God to bless our will. And we don't ask for his will to be done. We've got to learn to ask for God's will to be done in our lives before we make a plan. And I'm telling you, I've been trying to put this to practice more and more in my life. It's challenging to get all thoughts out of my head before I do anything. Say, God, okay, what's your plan for me in this? Please reveal your plan to me so that I take your plan for my life. That's what we got to be planned for and ask God for. You know, in relationships, raise your hand if you've ever been in a relationship. Married, girlfriend, boyfriend, raise your hand if you've ever been in a relationship. Okay, most of us. Put your hand down. I was hoping the teens too much wouldn't raise their hand. I was going to say a few words to you, but it's okay. It's okay. But in relationships, see, you have your mom and dad, brother and sister, so we all have relationships. You know, so in relationships, it takes two. See, if you want a great relationship, there's great communication from both ends. A great relationship has great partners that listen to one another. How many of y'all married? Raise your hand. Okay? Your partner needs to be a great listener. A great communicator, but a great listener. It is vital if you are a great communicator to your spouse and then you listen well to your spouse, you can have a great relationship with your spouse. But if you are just a talker and you're not a listener, you're in trouble. If you just talk, you don't have no time to listen, you just talk. Because you want things your way. Your relationship will fail. Well, how much more in our relationship with God? I ask you, are you a talker in your relationship with God? All you do is talk. You ask, I want this, I want that. God bless me with this, God bless me with that. And you take no time to listen to the things you pray for and wait for an answer from God. You don't wait for an answer. You just keep talking nonstop in your prayer life. I need this. Why haven't you given me this? I'm struggling about this. I want this. I need this. What about when I do this, oh God? And we won't stop and say, God, thank you for allowing me to pray for it, pray to you. And now, God, I want to take some time out in my prayer life and just take next a few minutes or so and just listen. Your time, God, to talk to me. I read something this week and studied my Bible. And I went online, and this guy shared something online that really touched my heart. He said he's deciding his walk with God from now on. When he prays, he's going to pray for things. And then when he gets through praying, he's going to stop and take time out and listen to God. Just listen for God to answer and for God to speak to him. And just really make it a practice in his life. He said, from this day forth, I'm going to practice listening for God. Stop being always the talker. But that's that meditation. Do you have great meditation in your walk with God? If you want to know God's plans, you better learn how to be a good meditator and allow God to speak to you and talk to you and look for his prayers. Look for your answer. Look for the answers that you prayed for, things you talked for. Look for God to speak to you. In Proverbs, it says, God established our plans only if we commit to him. You want God to establish your plan, then you got to be committed to the Lord. Another proverb says, it is God's plan that that his will prevail in our lives. See, God's plan for us is for his will to prevail, not yours. That's never in God's plan. His plan is for his will to prevail. That's why when I didn't know Dan was going to talk about that cross like that today when he said, Jesus, let your will be done and not my own. That's what Jesus is talking about. That's God's plan for all of our lives. Let his will be done and not our own. That's a scary prayer. Because you have to surrender. Sometimes you say, now let's be honest with me now. Everybody be honest. Don't put them on camera. Just keep me on camera so they can be honest. I don't want nobody to feel pressure. How many times you've prayed to God and then you wonder why he hadn't answered your prayer? Raise your hand if you ever done that. If you ever prayed to God and you wonder, why has not he answered my prayer? Yeah, that's normal. Because what you got to learn to do, I've prayed that, I'm like, God, okay. But then I had to learn that, God, okay, wait a minute. Maybe you have answered my prayer. And so I'm always looking for the prayer to be answered the way I want it to be answered. And if I look for a way to be answered the way you want it to be answered, God wants yes in our lives when it's dealing with Christ. Remember that scripture I read to you? Through Christ, the answer is yes. But the problem is through Christ is not sometimes what you want. It's not always what you want. I shared with you last week when I was dating Vanita, the thing we prayed for, the most scariest prayer I've ever prayed in my life was, God, if this is not your will, make it obvious to us. Don't let us move forward and get married. I don't want to marry this woman and find out that I did this on my own. And I never forget going to Vanita and say, you mind praying this with me? Don't let me just pray this by myself. That if it's not our will, God, for us to marry or for this relationship, we say for this relationship to go any further, that God just revealed it to us. I said, but Vanita, please also pray that we remain friends. Because I want to be your friend always. You know, and I never forget praying that prayer, and we prayed it every week. We made a habit every week when we prayed together, we're going to make sure we ask God to reveal his plan to us. And God started unveiling his plan to us. But I would be lying to you if I didn't say sometime I would, after I prayed that, I'd be like, God, if you take this woman from me, Lord have mercy, I don't know what I'm going to do. This is who I thought you want me with. God, you sure? I know, God, I'm scared to pray this, but God, please don't take her. Please let me have her. You know, and I had to check my own heart. Say, okay, I got to mean what I pray. I had to surrender. I had to let go. If it's not your will, if it's your will to be with someone else, and for her will to be with somewhere else, God, as long as they ain't in the same church with me, it's going to be okay. I can't have them rascals to save you. I'm like, Lord, if somebody can have her, take them and move on. Because I don't want to come to church every day looking at that rascal. Got my woman. Lord, have mercy. I don't want to be tempted with that, Jesus. If somebody else got to have her, God, let them have her. But take her away. Move her to Alaska. I can never see her. But all seriousness, I really was scared to death. I said, but that's okay. I'm going to pray it, Mike. And I prayed it every week. Every week with Nina, I prayed all the time by myself. And God revealed his plan to me. You know, and I never forget my mom said, you sure God revealing the plan? My mom was like, but you broke. You ain't got no money. How you going to get married? That's more so of God. He provided. I really was broke. Going to junior college, working at Family Dollar at $4.25 an hour, part-time. Broke. Riding a bike to work. She graduated from college, and I'm just getting my hustle on. And I'm trying to think, what does this woman see in me? You know, well, we can say God now because, see, I'm the preacher, I'm standing here, but I'm thinking back then, what does this woman see in me? You know, and I never forget the one of the most embarrassing moments of my life. She gonna come after work one day. I got on my bike. I'm riding home to hustle to get to church because I had to ride home and get dressed. And then her brother would pick me up, take me to church. And I'm riding. I'm flying. And I look to my right. Vanita pulls up right beside me. Hey, how you doing? Man, I felt this big. I said, well, I'm sweating. Well, I'm doing fine. How you doing? And I'm sitting here, why would this woman be dating me? Well, I look forward to seeing you at church tonight. Look forward to seeing you too. And she goes on off, and I remember thinking, Lord, my God, there is a God. And I just went on to church. I learned that, see, we didn't allow our circumstances and situation dictate our lives. We trust God. It wasn't what we had. Things of the world did not dictate what we did. We allow things of this society to dictate how we live our lives. We're allowed to dictate how we give and how we serve. That's not God's plan for us. God's plan is for us to surrender and do his will no matter what. And God said, you do that, I will give you the desires of your heart. We've got to submit to God's plan. In 2 Corinthians, we talked about God's plan for us is yes. He puts his spirit in our hearts for a deposit of guarantee of what is to come. Do you have God's plan for your life? Do you even understand? Or do you need to begin to get rid of your own plan to take on God's plan? I want to talk to you about, do you understand what it means to walk with God? To walk with God, having a relationship with God. We need this relationship. We need to have God as our father, and we're his son or his daughter. We must learn to seek God with all our heart, know him and not know about him. Make sure we spend the time in the word and that we're praying and not chasing after things that we have no business having or seeking or searching for. Taking advantage of every opportunity to read our Bibles and pray and bond our relationship with God. Before God can, we need to be doing this thing before God can even begin to reveal his plan to us. Why would God reveal his plan to you if you're not even reading your Bible? How will you even know God's plan if you're not reading? How will you even begin to understand God's plan if you're not praying to him? How can you even wrap your mind around God's plan if you have no relationship with him? You spend no time with him. It'd be like saying, I'm married to Vinny, but we spend no time together. She's my wife, but I came in the last time we kissed or touched or held hands. Because I ain't got time. But yet, that's the way we treat God. I'm blessed and highly favored. But you can't remember the last time you read the Bible. You can't quote a book in the Bible. But you're blessed and highly favored. We learn religious talk. We got to get rid of that. Don't let that become part of your life. You must fight to have a great relationship with God. Many people want to know God's plans for their lives, but they fail to realize his plan is usually always right before them. The reason they don't see it, because they don't know God's word. The Bible, God's words tell us all about God's plans. If we just obey him and read, it would become very clear and understanding to us. We must learn to listen to God's spirit when he speaks to us. Stop talking so much and learn to listen. Learn to rely on God. Have a hunger and thirst to have a relationship with him. Know that we talked about last week that God wants all of us to find him. God is not trying to hide from you. God wants you to find him. He's not trying to be secretive. But you got to seek him and search for him with all your heart. I closed last week talking a little about this, and this is my first point today. One of God's plan is salvation is found only through Jesus Christ. That's God's plan. Salvation is found only through Jesus Christ. No one else. Only through Jesus Christ. Turn to Acts chapter 4, verse 1, as we begin to read. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. Thank you, Anthony. In Acts chapter 4, verse 1, this is after Peter and John had healed someone and the people were upset about it. So let's read. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. The priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter. Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, "By what power or what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people." Now I love that part. Peter says, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. It's God's Spirit. And so they're questioning Peter, and I love that God emphasized that when Peter spoke, he had me in him. He was filled with my spirit. Later on, we're going to read it for somebody else. God emphasized that had him inside of him. See, it is very important that we understand that there is no other way to God but Jesus. And when we've got Jesus, we're supposed to be filled with God's Spirit. It should be clear to all those around us that we have God's Spirit. The problem is, whenever people say, "Well, you know so-and-so, they're going to do them." That's not good. When someone say, "You're going to do you," you know you. Why would anybody want you to do you? You want people to say, "Man, that brother, that sister is filled with God's Spirit." You want people to say, "Man, my Lord, when he speaks, you can tell he has God's Spirit." But it's very important that we as a people and as a Christians, as those who say they love God, understand how do we get God's Spirit. I love when Anthony shared up here, y'all. Anthony was very humble. When he said at the welcome, he said, you know, he was talking about how loving you guys and how this is not him. Those are words we want people to hear from people. Because when he said this is not him, what he's saying is, if I rely on me, you wouldn't like me. But I have Christ in me, so therefore I can say these things to you. That's what you want from people. That's what you want people to be saying. That's what becomes very clear. How many times, you guys, y'all talked about Tim's message Friday night? Who was that mentioned Tim's message Friday night? Anthony. You know, if you just know Tim maybe last year, that is not one of Tim's things. Tim never liked to get up and speak or do things. That's not what he longs to do. But because Christ is in him now, he understands, "I want to use my gifts for God. I want to use my gifts for God." It's some things I ask, when I ask Tim to do certain things, that he has his favorite thing to do, whether it's communion, tithing, one of them is his favorite. But it's amazing. It's amazing how a lot of time I ask him to do things that's not his favorite. Because then he has to be out of self and rely on who? That's what we're supposed to be about, amen? What was your favorite? The welcome. You know, but when he asks the other things or respond, like, "Oh, Lord, okay, that's out of my comfort zone." Good! The more we're all out of our comfort zone, the more we rely on God. Because you get in your comfort zone, guess what you start, who you think is doing it? You are doing it. You start relying on your own ability and what your thoughts are how to do things. And when that happens, you're in trouble. This must be about God in everything we do. You know, I've been blessed in my lifetime. We was in Dallas. We started with 16 members and grew to church. We met in Dallas, Texas, Texas Stadium with 10,000. We grew to over a couple thousand. And so, if you're not careful, as a minister, you can look around like, "Whoa, check this out. It's 10,000 people up in this mama." Man, who got them here? And I remember standing on stage thinking, God. I'm thinking, boy, I better not dare think I have accomplished anything. And you know what the other scary thing is? 10,000 people compared to 6 billion on earth. What is that to this society? Man, less than a drop in the bucket. So God still wants to use all of us. We got a long way to go, brothers and sisters. A long way to go. We started here with just 6, just a few. And I can stand here like, whoa, okay, God's blessing us. We're moving forward. But you know, you give God his glory, we're just beginning. This is just the floor. But you got to understand that we're going to always give God credit and ask God to reveal, what is your plan for us? Yeah. Let me scare some of you. So what do you think God's plan? How do you know God don't want you to plant a church? How do you don't know God want you to be a preacher? Why do you think God have you here? I promise you, 99.9% of the time, it's not why you think you're here. And you have to ask God to reveal that to you. How do you know God don't want you to marry a preacher? It's like, oh, Lord, really? Oh, Jesus. How do you know? You got to ask God, reveal your plans to me. See, do you know God's plan? See, you're here with your sister and brother. But do you know God's plan? Are you willing to learn God's plan? Are you willing to listen to say, God, you know what? Are you willing to pray? How many, be honest with me, how many I asked y'all last week to start praying every day, God, reveal your plans to me? How many of you pray that? Raise your hand. See, less than half. Come on, I want you to pray this prayer. God, reveal your plans to me. Tell me exactly what you want me to do. Before I became a Christian, I didn't want to pray that prayer. You know why? Because I knew his plan for me to stop having sex with women. So I didn't want to pray it. I knew his plan for me to stop messing around. Stop stealing and cheating and lying. I knew that God would tell me that, even though I never read it. I knew it was in the Bible. So when Venera asked me to study the Bible, I thought she was like, or study with a friend, another time. No interest. God bless you. Let me run for my life. But then I thought something was strange. Every time I would go on the joy bus, and we'd get on the bus, and yet I'm running, I would go in the closet and hide because I didn't want to go to church. But yet when I get on the bus, and I got around the people who understood God's plan, and they started singing these songs, and before I got off the bus, I don't know what, my arms started moving. My legs started moving. You know, and then it would get to a song I love. And here I am, I want to have nothing to do. I'm already mad that it came to my house. She said, man, my wife, I call her my wife now. Back then, she used to drive me crazy. Why are you coming to pick me up for church with this big old bus in front of my house? And all my neighbors going, oh, there go Tony. He got to go to church. There you go. Everybody know I got to go to church, but they ain't got to go to church. Man, I used to be so upset. I said, you know, I ain't gonna walk out the door. They're gonna leave me this day. Then Rossi would come early, so that if I took long, they wouldn't be late to church. And Paul, they would wait and wait. And my sister, I wish you were here today. She goes, Tony, they still waiting. I'd be like, nobody go towards the door. I was the oldest. My mom was at work. I'm like, surely they're going to leave some point. Get out of here. But God planned for them was to wait. And they will wait. And they will wait. And sister, they will wait. And what would I do? What was the first thing I would do, Vanita, since you remember? Who would come out first? I would send my brothers and sisters out. Okay, Michael, walk slow to the bus. Brittany, your turn. But Portia. Portia, your turn. Earl, go real slow. And I think if they, by the time they get, they'll get, okay, I got these three. At least we got 3 out of 4. Let's go. They will still wait. And I literally would come out the door like this. Yeah, I'm so prideful and mad. I can't believe they're waiting on me. And the bus be way over there. Yes, I just take my time. And them rascals would be on the bus just smiling. Just smiling. It's like God knew he gave me the right people to be patient with me. And then I would get on a bus, and I would go to my seat. I'll sit down. I'll get in the corner. I'll go by the window. I'll get by the window, leave my head on the window. You know, the bus ride, and my sister and brother be sitting like, oh, Tony, could you kind of sit? Maybe y'all don't shut up. Y'all, hey, leave me alone. Shoot, I can't believe they driving here waiting on me like this. Then we go to church. We get there, and then before we get there, Vinita walk by. You want a cookie? And I'd be leaning on there. Look at, oh, no. Oh, yeah, I'll take one. And when she walk, I eat it real fast, so she come back. You want another? Yeah, I'll take another. And boy, we'll get going, and then God knew. I'm telling you, to this day, God knew what I need to hear. He knew. He had a plan for my spirit. They will start singing in spite of my ugliness. And they'll start singing, I ride the joy bus, and I ride. And I'll be sitting on that window. And then we'll go through my neighbor, and all my friends be looking at me, and I'm trying to look mean, but dog. Oh, and I ride. Whoa. I ride the joy bus, and I would be tearing that bus up. Oh, and then we get home, I'm like, it's over? I gotta get off the bus? Oh, one more song. What was my other song? You remember my other song I used to love? Joy Bus? Hard Fighting Soldier. Oh, Lord my God. And I'm a hard fighting soldier. Boy, I'm like, on the battlefield. Man, I was 16 years old, and you couldn't tell me I wasn't a soldier. And soon as that bus pulled off, I was back in my sinful, ungodly ways. And next Sunday, guess what I did? The same thing. But God's plan for me was, we're going to keep coming and keep reaching out to you and keep searching for you, though I'm not far from you. I left and going to the military and came back, and God's plan was, my mom came to me and said, hey, Vanita, all of them still at church, Mark. I said, Vanita? Mm-hmm. What time you leaving? She's still around? Yeah. And she's still single, too. Really? Yeah. Let's go. And we would go. And I was amazed how many people on that drug bus were still loving the Lord. Now they were adults. Now we're all 21, 22, 23. I was just astonished. And I had to surrender. Have you surrendered to God's plans for your life? Are you like me, being defiant? Refusing to accept God's plan? Another thing, when I became a Christian, I changed. I was no longer the same. I went from Tony to Mark. Preach it, honey. I wasn't two-tone no more. I was Mark Anthony. I had stopped stealing, stopped cheating, stopped lying, stopped fooling around, stopped my immorality. I found God. And I didn't find God and then go back to my ways and go back to God and go back to my ways and go back to God and go back to my ways. I found God for real. I never looked back. I found God's plans for my life. Have you found God's plan for your life? I understood it. And it moved me. I understood there was no other way but through Jesus Christ. No other salvation. No other way to be saved. It was the Son of God. And I was fired up about it. Salvation is found only through Jesus Christ. This is God's plan. Do you have that salvation? My second point today is God's plan for our lives is to repent and be baptized and receive His Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Stay right there in book Acts. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Listen to me now. It says here, therefore, let all Israel be assured this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." You receive God's gift if you repent and be baptized. The promise for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them, he pleaded with them, save yourself from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number that day. Now listen to this now. It is God's plan for you to repent and be baptized and receive his Holy Spirit. And once they receive it, listen how they live their lives. In the next verse, in verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They devoted themselves to reading their Bibles, devoted themselves to prayer. They didn't become Christians and stop reading their Bibles. Then it says, everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were performed by the apostles. All the believers were together, had everything in common. They sold their property, and they blessed and gave to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in temple courts and broke bread in their homes and ate together glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to the number daily those who have been saved. These people were on fire for God. Every day. That's like you guys going out to St. Augustine. You guys going out to Yaya Club. Hey, Yaya Club, brother, Yaya Restaurant. Hanging out, eating, spending time together, devoting yourself to one another every day. Praying together, calling and asking God and asking for God's favor every day. We've got to see that is God's plan for us to repent and be baptized and to live this way. It is not God's plan for us to repent, be baptized, and be miserable. Be complainers, be critical, mean, ugly in our spirit. People should see, it said he was filled with the Spirit. They should see that. It should move. When people meet you, they should feel the Spirit. It should move them. And you should build each and help each other. And when you're not in the Spirit, point out to your brother or sister what is going on. Yesterday I was with Michael, my son, and we went and his car light came on, and we had the car 2 weeks and the car light come on. And so we went to talk to the people, and the guy come out, and one guy comes out and said, "Well, man, I bought a new car here, and the car light came on, and now it's a lemon, and now, you know, I brought it 24 times." I said, "Damn, why are you telling me some junk like that? I'm about ready to run up out of here." So he go get another guy. He come out, "Well, this usually happens." Well, now I'm not used to that happening. I'm 52 years old. When I buy a car, the car light don't come on like that. I'm not used to that. Not on a new car. I mean, hey, look here. This ain't making sense to me. And they start giving me all these kind of things. And after, my son put me aside and said, "Dad, that rascal, yes, he did do this to me." He said, "Dad, you were right. But I think you could have said it a different way." I'm like, I had to think. Anybody else around here before I hit this boy? Oh, the world. Did he just tell me, "Excuse me, son"? He said, Dad, you was right. In everything you said, you was right. It's just how you said it. I think if you said it just a little bit different, I bet you he'd have got it. And then he'd also know you're the man of God." I said, "Okay." So I thought about it. I said, "Jesus, you gave me a woman. Now you're going to give me a son." So I looked at him. I said, "All right, son, thank you. I look forward to making sure through trials and tribulations or a crazy thing, I'll be like Jesus. Because it's not easy." That's when you think somebody's trying to manipulate and play a game with you. You don't lost your mind trying to play a game with me. I'm a gamer. Let's get it on. And Mike said, "Nah, Dad, let's just, hey, I know it's wrong. I know it's wrong what they did, so let's just figure it out." I look at my little 22-year-old. Then I start thinking the checks out a little bit. Like, "Okay, good job, son. Appreciate it." And I thought, man, I got to make sure I be humble and loving. So when I get on him, he responds in a humble way. He's got to learn where humility comes from. God. And so I want to set a good example. He's right. Let me tell him thank you. Say, "Son, thank you. Thank you for what you point out. Appreciate it." Now, how many of your parents out here? Raise your hand. Now, is it easy to go thank your kids and correct you on things? Especially when you think they've done so much wrong and you're trying to correct them on things and you could be knuckleheads, but you can't look at it that way. You've got to, hey, when God give you a morsel like that, you got to take it. That was God's plan for Michael to point that out to me, to help me be a better man of God in all circumstances. And I had to thank him for that. And we spent some more time. We spent another hour or two together. I was proud walking around with that rascal. That's my boy. We walked around, took care of some things, and after I got humble, Michael, what happened to the light? It went off. It's almost like God said, that's what I wanted to teach you. Dink. Dog. Your dog. I made it really dead. I'm telling you the truth. Mike went, Dad is off now. Oh, my God. What happened? I don't know, Dad. I'd have fell out of the car. He went, I don't know. I think you just got humble with me. That probably happened. I'd have fell out of the car. But the light went off. The light went off. And we moved on. It was God's plan. I really believe it was God's plan for Michael to point that out to me. And it's good for our relationship. God, he gives us relationships. He does. And we got to accept those relationships. And sometimes relationships are good, and sometimes they're challenging. But no matter what they are, you have to accept them. And you got to find good in them. You really do. And ask God to give you wisdom through them. I've always had friends and other ministers tell me, Mark, man, what the best thing to do in life when you leave the congregation, hey, hear what everybody say and let it go out one, go in one ear, not the other. Because everybody opinionated. They always got something to say. What I do, I hear what people say, and it could be ugly, bad, mean. Still, I try to learn from it. You try to learn from it. You go, okay. You just learn from it. You know, what I've learned to do in life, don't take things personal. You cannot. You start taking stuff personal, it's a fight. Now you're in trouble because you're gonna want to come back. So you got to learn, no matter what kind of relationships you got, right, just learn from them. You can't be everybody's best friends, but guess what? You can learn from everybody. You really can. And so you just learn from them. Good, bad, or ugly, learn and keep moving. You know, and know that God does not make mistakes. That person in your life for a reason. So learn from it. He doesn't make mistakes. We got to trust in God's plan, amen? You've got to devote yourself to God's words. You got to devote yourself to prayer. This is the basics of God's plan. If you don't have this one on right, you're already in trouble. You would not understand God's plan. And it's too many of you guys don't read your Bible every day and don't pray every day. And you don't ask God to teach you and show his path to you every day. And yet you want God's blessings. Right? You want God's blessings, right? All of us do. That's why you're here. That's why we want God to bless. We want to go to heaven, right? But you got to do the things to get there. You got to have that kind of heart, amen? My third one I want to talk about with God's plan is we got to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And we must obey him. To know God's plan, you got to be willing to love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And you must obey him. You can't just say, I love God, but I don't obey God. You can't do that. Some of us are married, some of us are singles. In your marriage, there's a responsibility you have in your marriage that God gives you. And you got to be willing to obey those responsibilities in your marriage. Been a single, God gives us things as singles that we how we're supposed to live our lives. You got to be willing to obey. Like, stay away from sex. You can't go, you won't believe as a minister how many people are here. Well, but I love the person because I love them so much. It's okay. Will you please show me that in the Bible? That's made up. That's not obeying God's plan. And then you don't want to obey. You're creating your own plan. You know, our teens, you got to be willing, you know, the Bible clearly teaches us to not exasperate our parents. Parents for parents, not exasperate the kids. But God also teaches that you must obey your parents. In fact, the Bible says, if you don't, you shall not live long. I used to read that one all the time, my devotionals. I used to bring the mic, I'm gonna let y'all know something. God said, man, you're supposed to obey. I don't supposed to exasperate, and you don't supposed to disobey. So let's both of us do what God says. We talk about it all the time. I need to do what God, I need to not exasperate you, and then you need to not disobey. So if we both living for God, we're going to be okay. Doggone rhyming there. But I need to not exasperate you, and you need to obey. And if we both living for God, we're going to be okay. That the Holy Spirit gave me that. I need to write that down somewhere. Some lyrics. But that's what needs to happen. But see, are you doing those things? Parents, are you not exasperating your kids, or do you exasperate them? Kids, are you obeying God, or do you disobey? Singles, are you living a life of purity? Are you doing the things you need to do, or do you live a life of impurity? Marriage, are you being godly in your marriage, or are you being ungodly? Are you doing what God calls you to do? This is God's plan for our lives, is to obey him and submit to his will. And not give in to our own selfish evil desires. Look at Deuteronomy. Go to the Old Testament for a minute. Let's go to the Old Testament. Let's do some reading here. Go to Deuteronomy. Chapter 6. Look at chapter 6. I'm doing a little series on God's plan. I promise you're going to be part 3. Listen to this. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you, to observe in the land that you are crossing to the Jordan, to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that in it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of our ancestors, promised you. He says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. First, he tells you to teach your children to obey me. And then he tells you to love me with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Love the Lord. And then he says, teach your children to obey me. This is God's plan for our lives. Brother and sister, we were doing this through our society. You think we have as much problem we have going on? Think about this for a minute. God give us the plan for success, but we don't take it most of the time. Verse 7, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. He said, impress them on your children. And some of us don't even read our Bible with our kids. And yet God says, impress it on them. When you lay down and when you get up, God says, go walking with them and teach them about me. It's God's command. It's his plan for our lives. That's why it moves me. I look out here, Anthony is teaching our children about God. That's why it moves me. I go to Sunday school and they're learning and our teens are singing about God. But what needs to happen, what goes on in your home? What do you teach in your household? It is a command, it's God's plan that you teach about him. And yet we'll let weeks and months go on and no time with God, with our children. And if I ask some of your kids when last time you had a devotional, they don't even know, because they don't understand they have a devotional. Yeah, they know when you're taking them out to eat. They know when you're taking shopping. And they hear a song on the radio, they can quote every word. But they can't tell you anything about God? That's not God's plan for us. We as a people, as a church, let it start with us. We need to gain this conviction. Impress them on our own hearts so we can press them on our kids' hearts. Teach them about Jesus. Teach them about God. Teach them to obey. Let them see you love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Sometimes we don't realize the little small set of things we teach our children. We teach them that, oh, church is optional. I don't feel good, so I ain't going tonight. I'm not going to go tomorrow. We'll get there. And as their kids grow up, they learn your habits. and they become what they saw you be. And that's why God says you're supposed to teach them the right way. Because if you don't, you're going to teach them that God is optional. That it's okay when I get in school and I want to play football, I don't have to go to church. When I want to do sports and do things, God is secondary. He's not, he's okay, but you know, what you want is more important. Your will is more important than God's will. I'm here to tell you, I'm not telling you by theory, I'm telling you by fact. Amen. My kids are not perfect, but I'm telling you, when they want to play soccer, when they want to play football, the things they want to play, God was always first. Amen. If you want to play soccer, we better find a league on Tuesday night, because Wednesday night we're at church. Thursday we got Bible talk. So let's get here and start looking for the league you want to be in. We got to find something that will work around God. They learned at an early age. They didn't like it a lot of times. But the children don't lead me and my wife. We lead them. The God Bible says I'm supposed to impress God on their heart. They're not supposed to impress ungodliness on my heart. Some of us let your kids impress things on you instead of you impressing God on them. You don't do that. We had to work through, we had to teach, we had to talk. Man, there was many things we had to talk through and work through. Another thing was spending nights. That was a challenging time. They want to spend a night all the time. So I had to teach my kids, oh, the nighttime spending would be over at our house. Not at somebody's house I don't know. Dad, everybody do it. Do I look like everybody? Do you? I said, son, so I just tell son, hey, son, don't ever bring that one up, because then you're on loss now. It's over. Don't even bring that up. Because I hope I look like God to you. I'm trying to be like Jesus. And we always tell Brittany and Michael, why would I turn you over to somebody I don't know? Especially when I was molested as a child. Why would I do that? When my mom didn't know turning over people she thought was okay when they were not. They did not have God. So why would I do that? And why would you, some of you, do that? Like it's okay. One time I was 15, at 15 years old, I had to get in a fight for somebody trying to rape me, a man. I won that one. But listen to me. I didn't win one when I was 9. I didn't win all of them. My family wasn't all Christians. They didn't know any better. And by the time I was 10, 11, I had such a sinful nature, ungodly, going into the woods at 10, 11 years old, trying to have sex with people. Because what I was taught so young, ungodly, written all over me. That's why I didn't want to go to church. I had a lot of forgiveness to do in my own heart. I didn't have a father. My father didn't raise me. I was named after my mama. And I had a lot to forgive. So I wasn't seeking church. I wasn't seeking God. I was seeking unholiness. And one of my babysitter was a female. So when she had her time, I learned I ended up start liking that. Yeah, let her keep me. It messed me up. To this day, I don't know how I survived all that. To this day, I don't know how I got 40 kids from 40 different women all over the earth. Because it never was God's plan for me to be that way. He quickly came to me and tried to open my eyes. He quickly kept telling me, your biological daddy's not here, but I'm here. Amen. I'm here for you. Amen. At a young age, at 14, he started saying, here I am. Amen. And I wouldn't listen. The question is, do you listen to God's plan for your life? Are you listening? or you like me, refuse to listen. God says, implant me on your kids' hearts. Walk with them and talk about me. Love me with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Put me first. Too many of the wind blow wrong and God is forgotten so quickly. Too easily. We've got to gain these convictions, brothers and sisters. Don't let Satan continue to do this to our lives. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Look at verse 7 as I begin to close. And don't miss next week. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Look at verse 7 in Deuteronomy chapter 30. The Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies who hate and persecute you. You will again obey the Lord and follow all his commands I am giving you today. Then the Lord your God will make you most prosperous in all the work of your hands and in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock and the crops of your land. The Lord will again delight in you and make you prosperous, just as he delighted in your ancestors. If you obey the Lord your God and keep his commands and decrees that are written in this book of the law, and turn to the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. Turn to God. Look at John chapter 14, verse 15. Let's go to the New Testament. John chapter 14, verse 15. It simply says in verse 16, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, talking about the Holy Spirit, to help you and be with you forever. Amen. The Spirit of truth. Wow. The world cannot accept him because it is neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. My God. My God. Look at verse 21, chapter 14. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Look at verse 23. Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and he will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. My God, we must gain these convictions. Look at Mark chapter 12, verse 28. Mark chapter 12, verse 28, as we close. Mark 12, verse 28. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Notice that Jesus had given them a good answer. He asked him, of all the commands, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. All your strength. I think about bodybuilders, they be picking up things and lifting all these weights. I think about Jamie and Michael. There's somebody older up in here. My older brothers lift weights. Raise your hand. Paul. Oh, yeah, Royal lift weights. I mean, when you lift, sometimes you lift, you have to lift with all your strength. Have you ever lift with all your strength? I mean, I used to lift weights, man. I used to make all these sounds. They still do that in the gym? Yeah. It hadn't changed, huh? Oh, you go. They still do that in the gym? They still do that, Mike? You know? And before they get down, they got to do all these stretches. Here we go. You got me? You got me? Spot me. Spot me. Spot me. Spot me. But are you loving God that way? The Bible said we need to love him with all our strength. Are you ashamed to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? Is it too embarrassing? People might be looking that you give God everything you got. It looks strange to people. Yeah, they're in the gym and they screaming, and people come, yeah, baby, yeah, you got it, yeah, yeah. But why we don't do that for Jesus? Yeah, you got it, Mike, yeah. You're doing great, son, that's awesome. Yeah, Veronica, that's great. Good job. Yes, Eternia, hang in there. Come on. Yeah, Frank, don't give up. Yeah, Hosea, you're the bomb. You're the bomb. Oh, maybe it's too embarrassing. Are you loving God with all your heart, mind? Are you cheering each other on? Are you building each other up, rooting for each other? Come on, Erica. Come on, honey. You can do it. We've got to repent of our lack of fire for God. We've got to repent of not loving God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. When I go to bed, I'd be tired. Not from work. From serving the Lord. I go to bed, son, I'd be like, phew. Lord, have mercy. Let me hear him go to bed, son. Get up and get going. Look forward to getting up. Be tired for God. When the last time you went to bed tired for God? Not tired for yourself, because you're going to earn your money. You're working hard for self. But do you work hard for the Lord? Some of you work two jobs. You work hard for self. But how hard do you work for God? Is it evident to all that you work, you give God everything you got? That you love like you never loved before. You serve like you never served before. You smile like you never smiled before. Every time somebody sees you, you're smiling. Hey, what are you smiling about? You just lost your car. But I got God. What are you smiling about? You got no money in the bank. But you got God. You got God. What are you so happy about? He's the J-E-S-U-S. What are you so happy about? Or why are you always frowning? I think Mike said it best. Sometimes you look out here and be like, whoa, what is going on with them? What demon is in them? Pray that you remove that demon. Some of y'all need to look in the mirror. You don't know how you look. And I'm not trying to be funny with you. Listen, you don't have a clue how you look. But your face, Mike said, says it all. That there's something unsettled about your spirit. And you ask God to remove that. Amen. That's not cool. And no one would believe you're a Christian. It's like somebody coming, hey, man, I invite you. Man, I'm a Christian. Oh, really? Yeah. I've been a Christian for 10 years, man. What's up? Well, who would believe? See, nobody believes that. But some of you, the way you live your life, nobody, and how you look, you say you're Christian, be like, really? When did that happen? And how did that happen? You've got to really get serious about your personal walk with God and how you love God. And your love for God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength need to be radiant to all around you. People should know you love God and you're with God not because you tell them. It's by how you walk, talk, look, sing, and pray. None of us are perfect. I just told you I wasn't perfect the other day. But I know how to repent and go back to perfection quickly. You don't live in your sin. You don't let Satan dictate your walk. You let God dictate your walk. You let God change your life. You turn yourself over to God. Give God all you got. Learn to really serve God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Give him all you got. And watch what he do for you. And to God be the glory. Amen. Amen.